بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. My respected listeners, really the lives of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم are the lives that we need to study. As I was preparing the life of this great Sahabi, Abdullah bin Umar رضي الله عنه عنهما, I'm just remembering going through history and what our children learn in school. For example, we read about people like Vasco da Gama, for example, a man who Europe or Western history portrays as a hero. But if we go into this person's life detail, in the 15th century when he traveled, and they write his journey going via, you know, the Cape of Good Hope and then reaching India to try and discover new routes to acquire different routes for Europe. But actually, history shows that when he reached India, and what was his actual objective? His purpose was being a crusade. How many Muslims were massacred at his hands? How many people were murdered brutally? Even eyewitnesses who were non-Muslim at that time, a man by the name Tom Lopez, and quite a few others have recorded how this man brutally burnt ships going for Hajj with Muslims, with men and women. One ship had 400 people. There were 50 women on board. He took their wealth, he set them alight, and he watched them mercilessly as they put up their children begging for mercy. But no mercy was shown. How many masajids were demolished? So the purpose was to portray people who were ruthless as heroes. Allah save us. But Allah gave us the greatest of lives to follow. And that's the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And with us today, we're going to be discussing a great Sahabi who grew up in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we have been discussing Sahaba who grew up in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the tutelage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what an impact that had on them. And in the forefront of those was Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. We always hear about Umar radiallahu anhu, and we always have heard of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. What a great family he comes from. He embraced Islam in the early Meccan stages. He even speaks of how his father embraced Islam, and then his father wanted everyone to know that he is Muslim, because as everyone was sacrificing, Umar radiallahu anhu didn't want to be the only one left out of that sacrifice. So he says, my father then goes to Abu Jahl. He knocks the door of Abu Jahl. Oh, Abu Jahl, I have embraced Islam. So Abu Jahl says, what? Don't do it. Umar radiallahu anhu, my father said, I have done so. So Abu Jahl slammed his door and he didn't take it further. Now Umar radiallahu anhu's purpose was to make it known that I am a Muslim. And he was a proud Muslim, happy to be a Muslim from day one. So someone told him, there's a man who's a pro in broadcasting. His name is Jamil bin Muammar. Go ask him. Mention this to him. So Umar radiallahu anhu goes to tell Jamil, you know, I have embraced Islam. I am a Muslim now. I have submitted to Allah for peace. Aslamtu. Jamil immediately gets up and he gathers everyone by the Kaaba and he announces and he keeps on broadcasting that Umar has become irreligious. Saba'a Umar, Saba'a Umar. Now Jamil portrayed the wrong information. Umar radiallahu anhu is correcting him that, hey, you know what, I'm saying I have become a Muslim, not Saba, but Muslim. Anyway, he sees the whole view of how his father embraced Islam, and then everyone rallied around his father and then attacked his father. And his father alone, single-handedly, kept on fighting them back, Umar radiallahu anhu. And then they tried to finish Umar radiallahu anhu off, but he was too strong. And then Umar radiallahu anhu said, if we were just 300, we could finish you all off. But this was in the Meccan stages. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu already embraced Islam at that time. There's an amazing report of Rahabi who says that one day Abdullah bin Umar, Abdullah bin Harith bin Jaza, and Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu anhum were busy with a janazah. They were young boys helping out with the burial. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, go inside and take the body inside. And y'all are now Abidullah, meaning your names are Abdullah. So Abdullah bin Harith bin Jaza says, all of us, our names were As, all three of us. We came out of that burial and our names were changed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the name Abdullah. So we learn from there the importance of a beautiful name, keeping the names of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided them as their names are concerned as well. His name was Al-As, and it doesn't have a good meaning. It means defiant, disobedient. So a good name Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave, which is the best name, Abdullah. And as a young boy, he was always in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's company. He made hijrah in the early stages of hijrah as well. There's an amazing report where he actually presents a dream that he had seen. He sees this dream, and then he sees hellfire in that dream. And after that, he goes to ask his sister, you know, what does this dream mean? So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to Hafsa radiallahu anha, Hafsa radiallahu anha, and Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, our brother and sister from same father and mother. So Umar radiallahu anhu is the father. Their mother is Zainab bintu Mar'un. Zainab bintu Mar'un. Famous Sahabiya, Zainab binti Mar'un. She had a brother by the name of Uthman ibn Mad'un. We all heard of Uthman ibn Mad'un. The first person to become shaheed in Medina Munawwara was Uthman ibn Mad'un radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu's sister was Zainab bintu Mad'un. And that was the mother of Hafsa radiallahu anha, who is Ummul Mu'mineen, and Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So anyway, he portrays this dream to his sister, and in turn she presents it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Abdullah is a very pious youngster, and he must not leave his tahajjud namaz. Tahajjud namaz is important. And from that time, from a young age, from a tender young age, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma never ever left his tahajjud. To such an extent that he made tahajjud few times that night. He would sleep a little, then he would get up, make wudu, perform tahajjud. Then he would go to sleep again, a little restless again, he would get up and perform tahajjud. And he said, in my young days, I used to actually sleep in the masjid. He would go and spend time in the masjid. He grew up in Allah's obedience. And he was known to be Amlaka Qurayshin Linafsihi. That Qurashi youngster who had most control over his desires. Meaning, he obeyed Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obeyed the sunnah strictly, no other way. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, when he was about 13, it was the time of Badr. He was not allowed to participate. He was too young, he was sent back. Now it was the time of Uhud. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma is now 14, and he comes with those who are leaving Medina Munawwara with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's trying to show his muscles and his strength. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he takes a look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to verify. And then Abdullah bin Umar was too young. Allah's Nabi sent him back, amongst others who were sent back. And actually their eyes were tearing. They were crying, walking back into Medina crying. Why are they crying? Because they were not afforded the opportunity to strive in Allah's path with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first expedition he participated in was Ghazwatul Khandaq. He was 15 at that time. He was so happy. He came with his friends, and they all of them together strove in Allah's path, sacrificing for Allah Ta'ala's deen. So he grew up in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very close to his father. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, it was very, very saddening for all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the battles against the Murtadeen and the people of Fitna came about. So Umar, and then in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu was told to stay back by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So, but Umar radiallahu anhu's son Abdullah went out with his uncle, Umar radiallahu anhu's brother Zayd ibn al-Khattab, who we will discuss inshallah soon. So Zayd ibn al-Khattab is the brother of Umar ibn al-Khattab. So Zayd and Abdullah, uncle and nephew are together in Allah Ta'ala's path. And in that expedition against the Murtadeen, Zayd ibn al-Khattab became shaheed. And as they're returning, Abdullah bin Umar describes how saddened Umar radiallahu anhu was over the separation of his brother. And he says to his son, your uncle gave his life for Allah's deen, and what about you? How you came back? So, ajib, the qurbani and the sacrifice that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would go through. Imam Malik rahimahullah mentioned that after Zayd bin Thabit, Zayd bin Thabit was one of the greatest ulama of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We always hear it in the Jum'ah khutbah, Afraduhum Zayd ibn Thabit. So after Zayd ibn Thabit, the Imam and the senior scholar and tutor at that time there was Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum. In those latter stages, he spent 60 years teaching deen, conveying the message of Allah Ta'ala's deen. So after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all his life he spent, you know, teaching the deen of Allah Ta'ala, conveying the message of Allah Ta'ala's deen. He was very, very eager to learn, even in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, at the feet of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's an amazing report in Bukhari Sharif, that one day Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum a question, so to say something like a quiz, that tell me about a tree that is like a believer. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were quiet, and Abdullah bin Umar wanted to respond, but he felt shy. Abu Bakr is there, Umar is there, radiallahu anhum, senior Sahaba are there. So out of respect, he kept quiet. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the answer. So at home, he mentioned it to his father. Hey, father, I knew the answer. I knew that answer. So anyway, we learn so much from Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum. One is we learn from here is look at his respect for the senior. And the other is Umar radiallahu anhu told him, hey, you know, if you had to give the answer in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, obviously in a respectful way, I would have got so happy that my son knew the answer. But what was the question posed by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Is which tree is like the believer? And then Allah's Nabi gave the answer, it is the date palm tree. The date palm tree. Just before we continue, something very interesting to learn and share about the date palm tree that scholars explain under this hadith, that the date palm tree is very similar to a human being in many, many ways. And it's similar to a believer in more ways. How is it similar? Interestingly, every tree breathes in carbon dioxide. The poison that we exhale, carbon dioxide, we inhale oxygen, which is such a gift of Allah. Every breath of air is a gift of Allah. We exhale carbon dioxide. Interestingly, the date palm tree breathes what the human breathes in and inhales what the human being breathes. One. Number two is, a normal tree, if you chop off the top part of the tree, it continues to grow. But the date palm tree, like a human being who cannot live without his head, the date palm tree has something on top of the tree called a jummar. It's referred to as the heart of the tree or the head of the tree. It's a very, very integral part of this tree. If it is removed, the tree ceases to grow. It's a very, very expensive part. It's very, very beneficial and very good for health. Like the entire date palm tree itself. Other similitudes is the semen of the date palm tree has a very similar scent to the semen of the human being. And also, the date palm tree, how is it similar to a believer? In this way, that a believer has good akhlaq and character. If someone is vulgar or disrespectful, a believer portrays and treats that person with sweetness, with character, with akhlaq. Same like the date palm tree. If he's casted with stones, he just gives back dates, sweet, sweet dates. And also the date palm tree grows down very, very deep in the ground. In the same way, the believer should be deep in his faith and deep in his iman. The dates, in areas where dates grow properly, it gives dates in all seasons. Obviously, different kinds of dates, because there's seven different kinds and categories and levels of the dates, which each one has its own exquisite taste. Like, just in the Qur'an al-Kareem itself, the date seed is referred to in so many ways. In one verse of the Qur'an, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ. All those that you turn to besides Allah, they don't even own qitmir. What is qitmir? Qitmir is the covering on the date pit. It's a very, very faint covering, and I like you, my respected listeners, to actually try and, do this yourself. Take it, the date, and on top of the date, scrape that cloth around it. That is qitmir. Quran says, all those that you turn to besides Allah, don't even own that. Everything Allah owns. Not the date seed, even that cloth around the date pit. Another word from the date seed that's referred to in the Quran is fatil. It's the wick. It has like a certain string. So Allah says, you will not be dealt with unjustly even to the extent of the fatil. And the other is naqir. Naqir is a dot, like a certain branding spot, a dot on the date seed. Anyway, there's so much to learn from the dates itself. So this was the answer. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum knew. So from a very young age, he was very involved in Rasulullah's company and learning from Rasulullah and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Imam Malik rahimahullah narrates again from Nafi'. Nafi' was his teacher. And Nafi in turn was the slave of Abdullah bin Umar, and to portray it correctly, he was the student of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. And later in Abdullah radiallahu anhu's life, he freed him, and then he sent him to teach deen to humanity. So Nafi' says, Abdullah bin Umar and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma used to sit when the Hajis would come to Mecca, and they used to teach the people. They had their gatherings, and people would sit, and they would teach them deen and answer their questions. So Nafi' says that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma would answer every question posed to him. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum would answer some, and others he would refer to others that, I do not know it right now, go to someone else. And this was the humility of this great Sahabi and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. What he knew, he shared. If he didn't know something, he wasn't shy to say, I don't know. And there's reports to even say that he actually took pride to the fact that he would say, Abdullah bin Umar was asked and he knew not. Abdullah bin Umar was asked and he didn't know. So we learn from there. If we're not sure of something regarding our deen, we should not give an answer to act like we know. We should actually verify from the ulama and verify from those who know. Allah give us tawfiq. This is something very, very important. Otherwise, if we teach something, someone, something that is incorrect and wrong, then actually there's greater sin in that for us. So we learn this from Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. Layth ibn Sa'ad says that a man wrote to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma that give me advice, that full advise me regarding my whole life. What should I practice? How should I carry out my life? Advise me regarding ilm and knowledge. So Abdullah bin Umar writes back to him. See, concern, everybody, he's making deen available to everyone. He himself is available to the people. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu writes to him saying, Innal ilma kathir, knowledge is so vast, but how do I portray it all for you in one letter? But what I can tell you is, if you try your best, in istata'ta an talqa Allah khafif al-dhahr min dima' al-muslimin khamis al-batn min amwalihim kaf al-lisan an a'radihim laziman li'amri jama'atihim faf'al. Try your best to meet Allah, meaning the day you left this world, your back is not burdened with people's blood, meaning you haven't taken people's life. Number one. Number two, your belly should be empty of people's wealth. Do not usurp the wealth and the properties and the earnings and the rights of people. Your belly should be empty and hungry from that, meaning you should not devour that. Number two. And number three, withhold your tongue from dishonoring people. Number three, withhold your tongue from dishonoring people. And number four, stick to the unity of the ummah. Keep the ummah united and be with the whole ummah and community. If you do this, you will meet Allah as a very, very successful man. This was Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum. So great, so knowledgeable, and so conscious of Allah Ta'ala, so conscious of Allah Ta'ala. He would dress so humbly, with humbleness. Taza'a reports. I saw Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma wearing a very, very coarse kurta. So I said to him, Hazrat, I brought you this gift. Ataytuka bi thawbin layyinin. Comfortable, nice, you know, kurta. Very, very soft. It was made specially in Khurasan. And it will make me so happy to see you wearing it. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma said, show it to me. He touched it. He said, I asked, this is so soft. Is it silk? I said, no, it's not silk. It's a kind of cotton. So he says, you know, I'm worried about wearing it. Because if I wear it, I fear it's so nice. I don't want to become boastful and arrogant. And Allah does not love those. Wallahu la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Allah loves not those who are boastful and arrogant and flamboyant. Under this report, Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that we learn from here that every garment that brings arrogance into a person becomes imperative to leave. It becomes necessary to leave that garment, even though it's not made of gold or silk. So we learn from their humility. And look at the Sahabi. What a senior Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, gave so much of glad tidings for the Sahabi. The Sahabi was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he's worried about himself that I don't want to be proud. And this was Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. In everything, he wanted to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, I implore you, my respected listeners, open the kitab Hayatul Sahaba. Open the kitab Hayatul Sahaba and read about the different Sahaba. And in volume 2 and also in volume 3, you will find so many incidents of how Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma would devote his life to following the sunnah. following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَكَانَ يَهْتَدِي بِهَدِيهِ وَيَقْتَدِي بِفِعْلِهِ وَيَسْلُكُ مَسَالِكَهُ وَيَحْفَظُ مَا يَسْمَعُهُ مِنْهُ وَيَعُضُّ عَلَيْهِ بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. He would emulate Rasulullah's way and teaching. He would follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's path. He would remember and practice as he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, teaching and guiding and approving. And he would hold on to it, fighting onto it with his molars. This was Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. Nafi' rahmatullah alayhi, who was his student, says that if you only saw Abdullah bin Umar, the way he would emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you didn't understand deen, you would think, is this man insane? Hada majnoon? This is how he would emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform salah, salah fi. Abdullah bin Umar would go there and perform salah exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform salah. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rested under a certain tree, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma would go by that tree. He would water that tree so it remains fresh, and he would rest under the same tree. If Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at a certain place to relieve himself, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma would do the same. Nafi rahmatullah alayhi says that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma told us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, leave this door for the woman. Nafi says, I never saw Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma enter that door of the masjid till he left this world. Meaning Allah's Nabi said it. Even though other men would say, no women are entering from this side. Even though his house could have been in that direction. But no woman at this moment are entering from that side. Let me just enter on this occasion. And instead of being on the other side to get to the other door. No, Allah's Nabi said, this door is for the woman. That was enough for Abdullah bin Umar. What was enough for him? What Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Asim bin Muhammad Umari narrates from his father Muhammad Umari, who says, whenever Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu would mention just the name of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would start crying profusely. He would cry profusely, illa baka. On one occasion he was on his camel, and before the camel would kneel down, he tried to make the camel turn in such a way, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel did that when it descended there. This was Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu. So much he would emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person asked Nafi', Habib bin Shahid asked Nafi', what would Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu do at home? So he says, he would sit at home and read Quran between the two salahs. And for every salah, he would, with devotion, make wudu. Not that his wudu was broken, but just make a fresh wudu for the salah. Something very, very interesting about Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu as well is, he would never miss his salah with Jamaat. Abdul Aziz bin Abi Ruwad mentions from Nafi' rahmatullah alayh that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma would never miss his Jamaat salah with Jamaat. إِذَا فَاتَتْهُ الْعِشَاءَ فِي جَمَاعَ أَحْيَى بَقِيَّةَ لَيْلِهِ. And if he were to miss his Isha salah with Jamaat, or his salah with Jamaat, he would remain performing nafil the whole night. That was like an atonement and like a reproaching himself, that how could I have missed my salah with Jamaat? This is something we learn, my respected listeners. We should be devoted to the masjid. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma wants to perform his salah in the masjid. He doesn't want to miss his salah. Allah give us tawfiq. And also we learn another lesson of reproaching ourselves, reckoning ourselves. A man went to a pious man for advice that he is not managing to leave, to protect his gaze. So the pious man said to him, every time you misuse your gaze, what you do is make wudu and perform 2 rakat salah. So the man said, no, that's difficult. So he says, but okay, try it. So the first day, he had to perform the 2 rakat salah, like the 16 rakats he performed. The second day it got better, the third day it got better. Another person went, and after that he wasn't performing any of these namazes after that, because before he looks, he's thinking, hey, I have to make wudu and perform 2 rakat salah. So he would just protect his gaze. Like another did the same with regards to cigarettes. Allah Ta'ala save us. And he went to ask this scholar for advice. So the scholar said the same thing. And like that, this came out of his life. You and I know the vices that are in our lives. Allah save us. Something like vulgarity. We should never ever be vulgar. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma would treat his servants so well, he would never be vulgar with them. On one occasion, he actually was upset with a certain slave of his, and he wanted to so to say, curse him. And he, like, la'na, la'na means curse. So he said, Allahumma la. And he just remembered and he stopped it there. He didn't complete the statement. He didn't say the full statement, which is il'an. He stopped at illa. Or he just stopped there. This was his consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So if we have a certain sickness of vulgarity, we should actually try and tame it. Like every time we use vulgar words, we should go immediately, make wudu, perform two rakat salah, and like that we'll be following this beautiful practice of reproaching ourselves. If we miss our salah with jamaat, we should actually punish ourselves in a certain way to actually reform ourselves, that we would actually put a certain amount of rakat that we would perform to be able to tame the vices in our lives. Another great practice of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma is that anything he loved, he gave for Allah. If he loved anything, if he enjoyed something simple like even the ride of his camel, if he enjoyed the ride of his conveyance, he's enjoying the ride of his conveyance, he would get off that conveyance and he would put it amongst his camels that he's going to sacrifice in his Hajj. Nafi' says, "Ma a'jama ibn Umar shay'un min malihi illa qaddamahu." If he loved anything, he just sent it forward for akhirah. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us tawfiq to really change our lives, prepare for the year after, prepare to meet Allah Ta'ala, and also emulate the lives of these great Sahaba radiallahu anhum, like Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum, and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Forgive me, my respected listeners. My time has elapsed. I haven't completed the life of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhum. There's so much more to share. Inshallah, in the coming week, we will share further. We'll continue with the same Sahabi, because there's no use discussing another Sahabi radiallahu anhu when we haven't completed more and so much more about Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. We will continue with the discussion of this Sahabi's life in the coming week. Allah give us tawfiq. Let us try and bring these practices in our life. Slowly, slowly work on ourselves. And also, wherever we're going on holiday, go with akhlaq, go with character. Spend time in Allah's path. Share the message of deen wherever we go. And also be kind to our employees and also invite them to Islam. Allah give us tawfiq. And also take some good literature with us wherever we go. The great lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because these are the people to follow. Allah give us tawfiq. Three calls for all the Sahaba, especially Abdullah bin Umar. Then we can tell.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan for those advices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial. Indeed, we are looking forward to the next bit of history and information and nasiha about the life of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu and other sahaba radiallahu anhu that are to follow.
Jazakumullah marana for the opportunity. Jazakumullah khair.